Okay, our next section this afternoon is looking at JUnit because testing is important. And this section will show you the integration of JUnit with Eclipse, and you'll get a chance to go back and look at some of the code that you've written now for your code rally and write some tests for it as well. So we'll just briefly go over what JUnit is, where it comes from, what it does for you, and then what's important about JUnit and doing unit testing is the ability to write test cases and test suites, and turns out that test cases and test suites are really, in a way, the same thing, so we can compose test suites out of other test suites and so on. And then, of course, inside of Eclipse, well, there has to be a way that's going to help us do that, and then to be able to take these test cases and take these test suites and then run them and see how our tests actually perform. So JUnit is this wonderful open source regression testing framework that was written by Eric Emma and Kent Beck. A lot of people think JUnit first came along specifically for Java, but of course Kent and Eric go back a long way, and we're also involved in the Smalltalk world, and they had a corresponding framework for Smalltalk, which they took and then did a lot more with it for Java. So it is an open source project. You can go and grab JUnit on its own. You don't need to have Eclipse to be able to use it. But like all open source software, there's a corresponding licensing agreement for it, and it's licensed under IBM's CPL the same way that Eclipse is. So if you're interested in just picking up JUnit on its own, you can go to junit.org, and there you will find a download, and that download contains many things, many classes that you will need to create your test cases and create your test suites, but it will also contain something called Test Runner, which allows you to take your test suites and cases and actually run them and get the reports back on how the unit testing did. But this, yeah, of course, is all in and part of Eclipse. What Eclipse had to do was to take Test Runner, or take the user interface component of JUnit, and create one for its own, since Eclipse uses SWT. And if you go to the JUnit org site, when you get the download, the Test Runner is not written in the SWT or using SWT widgets, so it runs standalone. So if we look inside of Eclipse's plugin directory, you will see a JUnit plugin directory, and inside there you will see some jar files, and those parts of the code from that jar file came from the JUnit website, and there's another jar file that contains Eclipse-specific code for running it. So here we go. This is the Eclipse JUnit preferences window. And like I've been saying, there are preferences for everything. And certainly JUnit is like everything else. There are some preferences that you can set. For the most part, you can leave these alone. What's going on in here is that you're identifying just some filters for identifying certain packages and classes or various patterns of things that should not be shown in the trace output when there happens to be a corresponding test failure. So, for example, we're over here. You don't want to really do anything with JUnit's own test cases, test results, or test suites, so we don't want to include those. But again, this is just here for you to realize that there are some preferences, and if you do want to view JUnit results when only an error occurs, or whenever you run JUnit, there's a toggle for doing that, or you can set up your corresponding filter patterns. JUnit, if you're not familiar with it, is a way to run tests, multiple tests, and the way you write a test is by creating a Java class, and that Java class has to be implemented as a subclass of test case. So you can create your subclass of test case to represent your test. You can create instance variables inside of that class if you need to store certain things in state. A test case has a setup method that you can override and provide specific implementation before your test case runs. A test case also has a teardown method that you can override with your subclass to do any sort of cleanup that might be required after a test. And if you want to think about it another way, think about code that you just happen to write as maybe test method one, test method two, test method two, test method three as part of one of your classes. All you're doing is taking that testing code and pulling it out of the classes under test and creating a separate class to represent those individual tests. So creating a test cases in Eclipse is actually fairly simple. You need to create a brand new package to contain your test cases. It's sort of not a good idea to have your test case classes in the same package as the things you're testing. Because when you think about it, when you package things up and build jar files, you don't want a lot of your testing code in the jar file. You want your jar file just to contain things of interest for your specific application. But your testing project, you put all of your classes in there. One thing that you are going to need to do in this project that you've set up for testing is add the JUnit jar file onto the build path of your testing project. Because your project, right, is creating these subclasses of test case and test suite, it has to be able to find JUnit's classes. So when you have your project, if you select your project and go to properties, one of the properties you can set for your project is this Java build path. When you select that, go to the libraries tab within this view and then select add external jar. And that external jar you are going to find in your Eclipse install directory. There's a subdirectory called plugins, and inside of that plugins directory, you're going to see a specific plugin directory called org.junit.3.something.something.something. Go inside of there and select the jar. If you wish to see the source code for that corresponding jar file, you will then also have to attach a source to that as well. And I'll go around and we'll talk about how you actually do that. But if you have the jar file and the source assigned to it, then you're good to go. You can actually go and actually look at the source code that's in the JUnit package. Now you go to your project and you want to write your first test case. So you're going to use the context menu to pop up this nice little wizard called New. And when you look at this wizard for the first time, the only new things that you can build are Java and plugin and simple. And if you've installed the examples plugin, you may have some examples that you can select. What you're not going to see is JUnit. And the reason that you don't see the JUnit is because there's a little, you actually have to click on Java to expand it up. So when you do that, you will see this little JUnit line pop up. And now you can actually select a test case or a test suite. So say new other from the context menu of your project to get this wizard. Click on Java so you can see JUnit, select your test case, and then say next. Now you'll be asked to fill in all of the information about the test case that you want to create. So you can call it whatever you want. I just wrote in here first test case. So I'm going to get a class created called first test case, and it's going to be subclassed underneath the JUnit framework.testcase. You can decide if you want to hit the toggles to add a static void main method or a setup method or a teardown method. At least to start with today, there isn't anything really that you have to do specifically before your test case runs or after your test case is done, so you don't need to click on these things to get the method templates to go and do the overriding implementation of them. Here is what you will get as sort of a rough template of your case. So here's my first test case. You can see it has a constructor, has a main method, has a setup, and has a takedown. So I guess when I did this, I actually selected those toggles just to see what was going to be placed here. But this is the shell. You don't have to use that wizard. You could just go and create your own test case class and have it look like this. That would be equally fine. But the wizard is there, so why not go ahead and use it? Now, that just gives you the test case class. What you want to do then is actually add some tests into the test case. So a test case, you can think of as not being a single test, although it could be a single test. You can actually add multiple tests to one test case. So you can write as many as you want. The only thing that is specific about writing these methods is that they have to have the word test in them, and I'll show you that in a moment. Each one of these test methods that you write, though, they are going to do something with the objects that you have that are under test. So you're going to have to create instances of things, you're going to have to send them messages, you're going to have to get responses back, and you're going to be forming expectations about the type of things that you're going to get back or the state that these objects under test are going to be in. And the way that you test things is to assert certain things about the results of these objects under test. And when you're asserting things, as long as you're exerting something that winds up being true, no problem. So if you have two values, for example, maybe you created an object, bank account, send it a deposit message of $10, and now you check the balance. You expect to get $10 back. So you could take the 10 as being the expectation. You could take the result of asking for the bank account's balance, and you could assert that those two values are equal. And as long as that is true, your test method will continue. But the moment that assertion becomes false, it's going to generate a failure, and the JUnit user interface, the GUI, the test runner, will be able to report that back to you. So you can assert things as being equal, as being false, being true, something being null, something being not null, assert things as being the same or not the same, right? These are standard things that we're looking for when we're doing testing. So here's that previous method that I had, and I've written two tests as part of that test case. So the key thing here is that these test methods have to begin with the word test. Doesn't matter what they're called after that, but it has to be test. So I've got test compare succeeded and test compared fail. And the only reason I wrote these was to test out these two little assert methods. But if I was writing a true test case, I would create instances of other objects. I would send them messages, I would get values back, and then I would assert something. And that assertion would tell me whether the test passed or whether the test failed. So of course, in the setup, you might want to create some of those instances ahead of time so that they can be shared by multiple test methods. It's entirely up to you. So if I have that test case class created now, I can go back to my project, and I'm looking at it. I can go up to the Run menu, and I can say Run as a JUnit test. And what that will do is it will go through my project and run the test cases that are in there. In fact, it'll go and run all of the test methods that are in all of those test cases that I've defined. And if everything's good, I'm not going to see anything in the output here in my my JUnit results. Other than that, everything succeeded. But maybe a little too small to see, but you can see that there is actually a failure there, which indicate one of the assertions is bad. So if you see a red bar, you have a problem. If you see a green bar, two thumbs up, you're ready to go. And of course, the idea behind JUnit is that you will develop these test cases over time, and you're going to keep them in a project. After you've done some development for a day, a week, 2 hours, whatever the time limit is, what you wind up doing is just quickly going and say, run my tests. And your tests all get run on all of the various code that you've written, and you get a quick report. If it fails and you see the red bar, you get a list of the failure here. You can actually go and click on the failure, and that's going to take you right to the test case to see where things have gone wrong. So red indicates failure. You can see the test. That's essentially everything that I said. So up here, you can actually see the specific method that failed. This is actually the call trace that got you to that point in order to generate the failure. So just a little more details on that window. You can essentially run your test case many different times. So you can see how many runs you did. You can see how many errors you did. Errors are different from failures. Errors are when exceptions get thrown in the process of doing testing. Right, it has nothing to do with your assertions. Your assertions will succeed or they'll fail in their own right, and they are recorded as being failures. But if you're running your code and an exception gets thrown, that will be recorded as an error. So you will see how many errors you had and how many failures you had. And of course, what you want to see is 0-0 across the board. Going up one level, A test suite is something that will be used to tie multiple test cases together. So you can create a test suite much the same way you created a test case. You come in and you say new other to get this little wizard up. You select JUnit, you select JUnit suite. This is going to build a subclass of JUnit's test suite. And in that subclass, you are going to identify all of your test case classes that you want to run as part of the suite. Otherwise, you have to go and select individual test cases and run them one at a time. So it just makes sense to organize all your test cases as part of a test suite and run them in one go. So after you select test suite, you get a similar wizard. You identify the name of the class that you want your test suite to be. You then identify the test cases that you want to have part of that test suite. So you don't have to have every test case that you've already written as part of that test suite. But of course, what people will do is actually tick all of these off, and they'll get created. If you look at the code, this is what this is the code that gets generated for your test suite. And it is, again, something that JUnit expects. It expects anything that is a test suite to have a test, to have a suite method defined. That suite method will return something that's called a test. And what's a test? Well, you can see here we're building up a test suite, and then we're adding those individual test cases into that test suite as being the tests of the test suite. Gets a bit incestuous after a while, but it's essentially something that's actually wrapping around on itself, and we'll see why I said that in a moment. Running your test suite, though, is exactly the same as running your test cases. Just select it, say run as a JUnit test, and the entire test suite will run. And to run the test suite, it just amounts to running the individual test cases. So you will get again a full report. So this little example, I literally created two test cases that were pretty much the same as one another, but I added them to my test suite and ran them, and now I'm getting two failures instead of getting one failure. But here's the interesting point, at least from my view. A test suite and a test case are both types of tests. So if you can add a test case to a test suite, you should also be able to add a test suite to a test suite. So think about it. I can create 10 test cases, put them in test suite 1, create another 10 test cases, put them in test suite 2, and then I can take another test suite and add those two intermediate test suites to it. And of course, when I run that higher level test suite now, it should run the lower level test suite, which should run the individual test cases, which should run all of the corresponding test methods. So if you want to add a suite to an existing suite, here's the way that you add it. There's just one level of indirection that you don't need to really identify. Here, we had to take our test cases and wrap them up as a test suite so that we could add them as tests to our test suite. If this is already a test suite, we don't actually have to do that. But JUnit doesn't care. I can take that higher level test suite and run it, and it's just going to run everything for me. So that's what JUnit is. It's just a very simple framework for creating test cases and for running test cases and getting reports on them. What Eclipse did was they took the JUnit jar file with test suite, test case, test, all of the assertions, and just brought it into it. But what JUnit had to do was create a new user interface component for running JUnit. And it also had to create the corresponding wizards to make it easier for you and I to create our test cases and our test suites. So in this hands-on, we're going to get you to use JUnit. We're going to get you to write some test cases for some of the rally cars that you've written. So your rally cars have names and colors. So you can create, as part of a test, an instance of a rally car and check that the name that you gave it is, in fact, the name that is being stored in it, and try and run some tests. And I encourage you to try and create test cases, test suites, and test suites that contain test suites and test cases.